Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
I've been enjoying this Christmas season, kind of approaching the Christmas story from non-traditional Christmas passages. But we'll get to the Christmas story. Don't worry about that. But we're going to come at it from a little bit of a different angle this morning in Mark chapter 1, starting with the very first verse we're going to open up this morning. Long expected Jesus, he is here. It is Christmas Eve. Mark chapter 1, this is what it says. This is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare a way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1 this morning, as we observe Christmas Eve, as I was thinking about this passage this morning, we live in a world that really is filled with bad news. If you think about it, bad news seems to reign regardless of your politics. Things seem to be pretty bleak on a lot of different fronts this Christmas in 2017. We seem to be on the brink of war with North Korea and with China. Just this morning, I'm reading news stories about how we've never been closer to war with North Korea than we have in the past 50 years than right now. The Middle East is a boiling pot. It's ready to boil over, ready to explode. We have high-profile people in our society over the past 2 or 3 months, many who have been respected, some not so respected, who are stepping down, having to resign because of bad behavior that's been exposed. Wildfires have ravaged Northern California and Southern California. I read a story yesterday. The wildfire that is burning in Ventura County in California is the largest wildfire now on record ever. Thousands of buildings displaced, billions in dollars of damage. Many people have lost their lives. 2017 saw three of the worst hurricanes that we've ever seen hit the continental United States or United States territories, including Puerto Rico. They devastated the Caribbean. They devastated parts of Texas, Florida. The Buckeyes missed the playoffs. Talk about bad news.
A catastrophe,
that's right. Although they deserve to miss the playoffs. You don't lose to Iowa like that and expect to be handed the playoffs. The Browns are winless. Heaven's sakes. Although that was pretty much par for the course for the Browns. On a more serious note, we've lost too many loved ones this year. We're without people that we love who've moved on to be with Jesus. Pain, illness has been a story that we're all familiar with. Job loss, job problems, stress on the job, financial problems. Everywhere we turn, it seems like all we hear is bad news. It just seems like every corner we turn, there's bad news. But I'm here to tell you on Christmas Eve 2017, there's good news.
Amen.
There's good news. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the writer gets right to the point for us this morning. He says, this is the beginning of the good news, of the gospel. In my Bible, it says, this is the beginning of the gospel. That first verse in Mark chapter 1, this is the beginning of the gospel. The Greek word for gospel in this passage is an interesting word, and I'm going to try to pronounce it for you this morning. I actually had to phonetically spell it out in my notes because I'll mess it up. See, the Greek word for gospel is euangelion. Euangelion. That word looks familiar, doesn't it?
It reminds me of the...
It looks like the word evangelist, doesn't it? But it's pronounced euangelion. Euangelion, the Greek word for gospel. Say it. Euangelion. Ooh, that sounded good this morning. The word for the gospel, euangelion. In English, euangelion translates not to gospel, because gospel is not really like a word we toss around a whole lot in our modern society. But here are some phrases that euangelion means. News that makes one happy. News that makes one happy. Information that causes one joy. A message that causes the heart to be sweet. Words that bring a smile to your face. Euangelion. Words that bring a smile to our face. The Advent season is a time to remind us that in spite of all the bad news, there's actually good news to celebrate this morning. I want us to focus on the good news. I am an optimist. In a world where the media always leads with the bad news, there's that phrase, if it bleeds, it leads. And usually if you turn on the television news, the first story is usually about an auto accident or a murder. If it bleeds, it leads. I'm an optimist, though. Where the media leads with the bad news, I'm inclined to believe that people really do crave good news. People crave good news. People are drawn to news. We're all drawn to news that makes us happy. We're all drawn to news that puts a smile on our face. We're all drawn to news that would cause us to just feel joy in our hearts. News that brings hope in our lives. In Mark chapter 1, the people went out to John the Baptist because they were hungry for forgiveness and hope. The people were going out from where they were at to John out in the country. It was an inconvenience to go to John. John was not centrally located like your favorite mall or store over on Bechtel Avenue. John was out in an inconvenient place, but the people were hungry and they were craving something. And in their craving, they were so hungry for something more that they were willing to inconvenience themselves to go out to John. And that's what we find happening in Mark chapter 1. Humanity is wired naturally to crave reconciliation. We are wired to crave redemption, to crave forgiveness. No one, not one of us really likes to have a mark on our record, right? I'll talk to Ed about people at the jail. And in the back in the day when I talked about somebody who had a criminal record, you'd talk about their rap sheet. These days, when you talk about somebody who's got a criminal record, they talk about the fact that they have paper. Do you have paper? Paper means you have a record, a rap sheet. But no one really likes to have marks on their record. None of us really like that. There may be some people that will brag about their rap sheet, but really deep down, deep in their hearts, no one wants to have a record. We all crave to have a clean record. None of us likes to be in debt. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody likes to be in debt. Have you ever paid off a credit card or an auto loan or a mortgage and you've experienced what it feels like to write that last check? Whew, there's a liberty to that. There's a freedom to that. What a great feeling to be free of that burden of debt. I remember when I was working on my master's degree about 11 years ago, for 2 solid years, I was working on my master's degree. And it was an online program. I was working 40 hours a week. And I was coming home at night, being a dad for a couple of hours. And then from like 9 o'clock at night until 1 o'clock in the morning, I was going to school online. And I was getting my master's degree in spiritual formation from Northwest Nazarene University. I couldn't do what I wanted to do because my time was packed every day. Go to work, come home, be a dad for a little bit, go to school. Go get up in the morning, do the whole routine over and over and over again. Couldn't do what I wanted to do because of school. I couldn't read what I wanted to read because when I had any free time, I had hundreds of pages. Doesn't this sound fascinating, Brianna? Just hundreds of pages of books that I'm, you know, theological, philosophical books. Hard reading, too. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't read what I wanted to read because I had to study. I had to work hard. I had to get good grades and get my master's degree. But I remember the day came in the summer of 2006 when I finished my final class in my master's program. That day came, I remember feeling so free and so liberated. I remember thinking, I can read anything I want to read. I can read anything I want to read now. I don't have to read the assigned stuff. And I had a list of books that I wanted to read that I've been compiling over the previous 2 years. But I felt so free, and I just felt like such a burden had been lifted off of my shoulders because I finally made it through that program. I could do what I wanted to do with my time. I could spend more time with my family. I just had the freedom of not having the burden of that master's program on my shoulders. I could literally feel that liberation when I finished that program. We all crave to be there. We all crave to be at that destination where we're free of the burden. We all crave to be in that place where our burden is lifted. And in this passage, the people of Israel felt this way. They were hungry for liberation from their sins. What was sad about this passage is they weren't finding liberation from their sins at the temple. They weren't finding it in the formal religious place. So they were so desperate to find liberation and to have that burden lifted that they were going out into the countryside to see John the Baptist. They heard about this guy in the country. John was preaching a baptism of repentance and confession and forgiveness. And they said, that really sounds good. You know, whenever you hear somebody say, hey, how about a trip to Florida or somebody, a warm, and everybody goes, right, you know, oh, that sounds so good. That sounds, get out of the cold, that sounds so liberating. Or, hey, how about a steak dinner? Mmm, that sounds so good. Right? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Sign me up. That's what people were like here in Mark chapter 1. They were hungry for liberation. They were hungry to have the burden lifted, and they were going out to John because they had heard that he was preaching this message of repentance and confession and forgiveness. And word got out. There's good news. There's good news out in the countryside. Let's go to John. John is offering cleansing of sin through baptism. And they thought that that was the good news. But the scripture this morning tells us that was just the beginning of the good news. That was just the beginning of the good news. People were looking for hope. They were looking for some good news in the midst of their desperation. And they thought that John, they thought that this crazy guy out in the wilderness, dressed up like a crazy man and his camel hair and his long hair and his beard, hadn't taken a bath for weeks. They thought this guy was the good news. They thought John was the embodiment of hope in his message. They thought that he was it. But John was just the opening act. John was just the beginning of the good news. He was in reality just there to prepare people for the main course. He was there to get people's attention. To get their attention in a new way, to break them out of their routine, so that God could do something new in their hearts. And sometimes I fear, church, that we get into our routines and we get lulled into a comfort zone and we get lulled almost spiritually to sleep, that when Jesus comes, we miss him. And God knew this about the people. And so what did he do? He pulled them out of the temple and he sent them out to the countryside, got them out of their comfort zone so John could prepare them so that when Jesus came, when the actual good news came, they would be able to see it and pay attention and know and understand what was actually happening. That the good news, the euangelion, was coming. Advent is similar for us. As we celebrate Advent, it does the same thing for us. It prepares our hearts and our minds for the coming of Christmas, for the coming of the Christ child. And the good news is that Jesus has arrived on the scene. The good news is that Jesus has arrived. Amen?
Amen.
And he comes to us as a humble child born to a virgin in a stable in Bethlehem. There's a lot of seemingly bad news in the world out there today. But the message of the Christmas story is fear not. Fear not. There's even better news if we'll take time to focus on it. There's better news that we celebrate at Christmas. It's not just about the gifts or the lights or the musicals. The even better news is that Jesus has come to make a way for us to have a right relationship with God.
Amen.
Jesus has come to make it possible for all of us to have our slate wiped clean.
Yes.
Burden lifted.
Yes.
Jesus has come to rescue us and provide for us redemption and restoration. Jesus has come to offer forgiveness of our sins and allow us to truly live in His love. Jesus has come so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
Do you get that? Whoever believes. There are no eligibility requirements. Everybody's talking about the tax plan right now. And you've got to make a certain amount or have these certain qualifications to be able to qualify for certain pieces of the tax plan that Congress just passed. And the bad news is if you don't qualify, you don't get to take advantage of the benefits of the tax breaks. The beauty of the Christmas story is that everybody qualifies.
Amen.
Everybody qualifies for the gift. Whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. That is the best news ever. Let it sink in this morning. Not where you need to be 45 minutes from now, but right here, right now. The best news in the world is that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. One thing that I've noticed about good news, Evangelion. One thing that I've noticed about good news is personal. Good news is personal. What's good news to me may not be good news to you. My son coming home for Christmas and the joy I feel when he arrives at the door is awesome news and it brings hope to me, but to you, it's like, oh, your kid got home safe. Good news, you hear what I'm saying? Good news is personal. It's personalized. There's nothing like receiving a gift that has been chosen specifically for you. Especially if you never asked for it. But somebody went out of their way and chose it just for you. And it's a custom-made gift just for you. Good news is personal. A gift just for you brings a smile to the face. It brings a joy to the heart like nothing else. Watching somebody else this Christmas open a personalized gift for them may make you smile a little bit, but it's nothing like what they feel when they open that gift and receive that gift that's been given specifically for them. Watching someone else receive a gift is nice, but it doesn't bring euangelion, that smile to the face or that warmth to the heart. I hear a lot of people, I think Pastor Vicky and I both hear a lot of this in our comings and goings as pastors. They'll say, Pastor, I believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. Right, Bill? You hear that a lot. I believe in God. And I think that that is one of the most delicate dodges of the gospel that the devil ever created. I believe in God. When the people said, we believe in God to Jesus, Jesus said, even the demons believe in God. The question isn't, do we believe in God this Christmas holiday? That's the wrong question. Because even the demons, even the devil believes in God. The question on Christmas is, do you believe in Jesus as your personal rescuer? Do you believe that the gift of Jesus Christ was given specifically for you, personalized for your needs, delivered on your doorstep to lift the burden from your heart? Has the gift of Jesus brought personal joy to our hearts? Has the gift of Jesus brought a smile to our faces? Has the gift of Jesus brought hope in our lives where before we had no hope? Have you personally experienced the good news of Jesus in your life? It's not enough, folks, to say, I believe in God. And I think the devil will want to deceive us and say, oh, you're good enough if you just believe in God. If it was good enough to just believe in God, God would not have had to send his son. But because we needed redemption, because we need this debt paid, because we need liberated, because we need free, we need to personally accept the gift of Christ in our hearts. And we can dodge it by saying, well, I believe in God. I'm a good person. There's going to be a lot of good people who believe in God who are going to be standing empty-handed, I think, at someday at the judgment seat, because the ticket that's required to get in the door is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a life that reflects that relationship. Not just a decision, but a life that reflects that relationship. Are we fully living in the good news of Jesus Christ? I think this holiday season is an opportunity to, whenever Christmas comes around, it's a great opportunity for us to take stock, to evaluate. Pastor Vicki and I do it every year. We did it last night, or yesterday throughout the day. We took stock of all the different gifts. Who did we buy for? Did we buy for everybody? If there's something we needed to do, we were both out doing our last minute shopping yesterday afternoon. In the same way, at this time of year, it's a good opportunity for us to take stock. Do we have the gift of Christ in our hearts? Is it personal? Does it bring personal joy? Or am I apathetic to it? If I'm apathetic to it this morning, there's opportunity to receive that gift fresh. And anew. Is the Christmas story merely news to you? Or is it good news? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds looked at each other and they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off to Bethlehem, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, for the shepherds at first, it was news. They heard the news that the baby had been born, that the Messiah had arrived. But then they said, we got to check this out. And they moved from where they were at, out in their fields at night. And they went and they saw the baby and they experienced the Christ child. And in their interaction with the Christ child, what was just news that they heard from the angel, and even though that was incredible, what was news brought joy to their hearts because it became personal when they came face to face with that baby Jesus and they recognized him for who he was. Amen. And they didn't just keep it to themselves, folks. What did they do? They went out and they told everybody. They couldn't contain the good news that they had experienced and they wanted other people to experience it too. Is it news for you this morning? Is the Christmas story just news? Or is it euangelion? Is it good news? Is it gospel? Is it something that has personally warmed your hearts? If it hasn't, or if it's been a while since it has, I've got good news for you. We can accept the gift of Jesus right here, right now in our hearts. It does not take a grand emotional outpouring. It takes a simple acceptance of Jesus in our hearts and a commitment to live our lives in alignment with His will for our hearts and our lives. He's the perfect gift. Do you feel burdened down? Overcome by bad news. There's good news. There's freedom. There's redemption. There's joy. There's peace. There is hope.
Amen.
This morning in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of Christ. We thank you for the good news that comes with the baby Jesus. And this morning, Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, Lord, I feel for some of us it's an opportunity to accept that gift personally so that we can experience euangelion, so that our hearts can be warmed, knowing that our sins are forgiven, so that joy can fill our hearts, knowing that the relationship between you and us has been made right. Father, this morning we give our hearts to you. We want to accept the gift of Jesus that you have poured out to us. This is not a cheap gift. Your Son is a gift that's given at a very high price, tailored especially for our needs. You seek to liberate us from our burden this morning, Lord, if only we will personally accept the gift of Christ in our hearts. It's as easy as just taking a step of faith and saying this morning, Lord, I don't understand this story. It's not the way I would do it. But I believe that when you sent Jesus to earth to live as a man, to suffer, to bear our sins, to die, to rise again, that you did it for me. And this morning, Lord, I accept the gift of Jesus in my heart. And I pray, Father, that as I accept this gift in faith, that you would liberate me, that you would free me from the bondage and the burden of the past mistakes that I've made, and that you would open the doors to a new way of living in the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, may the transforming power of the Christmas gift change my heart this Christmas. May the transforming power of the Christ child who came humbly into this world begin to humbly change me so that I can be the person that you intended me to be in the first place. I'll admit I don't understand it, but this morning I freely accept the gift of Jesus. And I thank you for the joy that you bring to me as you free me and liberate me from my past and open up the doors to a beautiful, magnificent future filled with hope, peace, joy, and love. We thank you, Father, for you did so love us that you sent your Son that whoever believes can have everlasting life. Lord, we believe this morning. We love you this morning. We celebrate the victory and the gift of Christmas this morning. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen. Merry Christmas. May you go and may the news not just be news, but may it be good news this Christmas holiday. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.